Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We'll hop right into verse 1. Colossians chapter 1. While you're flipping there, I will say it's just such an honor to be at this church, and especially to preach behind this pulpit. I remember the first time we came to this church in 2016. I'd have been 16 years old then. And we were just kind of here, just kind of checking out the church. And I just remember just walking into the youth group up there, and we were coming from a small church. There was probably 12 teenagers. And I think there was 60 or 70 teens up there at that time. And I was just, you know, like my eyes were saucers. I was like, there's so many people here. I think I just sat in a corner. I didn't know what to do. And it's just humbling to think about the impact that this church has had on me. I don't have a long message for y'all tonight, but I just hope that as much as God can speak to you through his word tonight, that this service can be a little bit of me paying this church back for just the countless blessings that God has given me through Worth Baptist Church. My wife is here tonight. I met my wife at West Coast Baptist College. If you would stand. We serve out there now. This is my wife. Yeah, we can give her a round of applause. If there's any person to clap for in this building, it's definitely her. So our seven-month-old son is in the nursery. I'm surprised. He was a little moody like his dad, so I'm actually surprised he's still in there. But Colossians 1, verse 1, the Bible says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God in the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Watch this. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. In verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Would you take a second and just pray with me? Father, Lord, I am so humbled to have the privilege and the honor tonight to be your ambassador of your holy word tonight. Lord, I truly believe that you have something in this passage for everyone in this room. I pray that no one would leave without making a personal decision for you to either make something right in their life or to determine to serve you just a little better tonight. God, I thank you for how this passage has so greatly spoken to me, and I thank you for the ultimate gift of your Son on the cross, the ultimate gift of Christmas, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you for him. God, I just pray that you would be with us in a special way tonight. It's in your Holy Son's name that we pray. Amen. Tonight, I entitled this message, Known by Love, Known by Love. If there's one thing that just pops out to me from this passage, it's verse 5, is verse 4. It says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. If there's one thing that's for sure, that's for certain, this church was known by love. This church of the Colossians here, they were known by their actions. They were specifically known by love. And just a little bit of context here. This letter was written roughly around 60 AD, right? So about 30 years after the death of Christ. It was written to the church in Colossae. Many commentators believe Paul at this point had never seen the church. So we see actually in verse 4, since we heard of your faith, it seems like Paul and Timothy had only heard of this church. It seems like they hadn't actually had the chance to attend this city. But that doesn't change the personal tone of this letter. And it seems like Paul had a dual purpose for this letter. If you'll kind of actually see in chapter 4, at the very end of the letter, he tells his church to exchange it with a neighbor city very close by. The theme of this entire book, and this is just so abundantly clear, is Christ. The specific name of Christ is mentioned, I think, 18 times is what I counted. But Christ himself, as a pronoun, he is referred to time and time again, almost every verse in this entire book. Paul wrote this book, in a sense, to magnify the name of the Lord. He also writes it to combat false doctrine. We find this in chapter 2, verse 4. And Paul says, "In this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." So it seems in this region, there were some false teachers promoting false doctrine. And Paul wrote this letter to give them solid doctrine about Jesus Christ for them to base their theology on. One thing is evident, and this is what we touch on. This church was known by love. So much so, and it's not even just the church. It's actually the believers in the church. If you'll flip over to Philemon chapter 1, obviously, verse 3, Paul says this, "I thank my God," so that's Philemon verse 3, "making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all saints." Philemon was located at the same church the letter of Colossians was written to. So it's not just this church that's known by love. It's people in this church that are known by their loving actions. And tonight, I know it's not super Christmassy, but I can't think of a much more needed message that the church needs today than how we can be known by love for Christmas this year. So we will view three essential steps to be known by love this Christmas. The first one is remember your hope. Remember your hope. If you can't tell, I am a little nervous tonight. But I just want to say, and this is I'm so thankful for some of my family that actually got to make it out. Judd couldn't make it. He said, "Dad, I got to stay in the nursery," but that's okay. You know, I'm not offended. I'm just going to cry later. And so many friendly faces. It's always great to come back. I wish we could come back two or three times a year, and maybe one day we will. But the first step we see to be known by love is to remember your hope. Let me ask you this. What's your hope? Tonight, December 21st, 2022, what is your hope? When we think about hope, I think I can't think of a time where, especially as a kid, I was more hopeful than Christmas, right? Especially as Christmas Day approaches and you get closer, you start really thinking about, man, what kind of presents am I going to get? For me, it was always Legos. I always wanted a Lego set. And there were many, many Christmases where I would wake up and I would just climb out of bed. It was probably very slowly, I assume. I probably got to sleep in and I like that. And I would find a Lego set under the tree and, man, my hope was fulfilled. That was a good day. And there were many years, because unfortunately the price of Legos is pretty expensive, where I'm sure I came out and I didn't see any Legos and I was pretty disappointed. I wanted to do a little comparison, right? That's a worldly hope. Tonight we're talking about a biblical hope, I wanted to compare the two. Biblical hope ought to be totally different from the hope we have, maybe in things we can receive, benefits we can get, maybe a Christmas bonus, right? Our hope in the Bible, in Christ, ought to be totally different. I have a brief definition here. Biblical hope is a confident expectation. I would even say this, a confident, unwavering expectation. Right? We have a foundation for our hope, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our hope. Hope is a confidence, not just wishful thinking. Specifically, here's why hope's important. Our love is built on our hope. how we love is entirely based on what we hope in. We even see it here. Paul mentions first, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and then he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. I love how Jesus puts it in John 14:6. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go, in the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hebrews 11:1 kind of parallels this. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The foundation of our faith is this expectation. Hey, Jesus rose from the dead. Paul phrases it in 1 Corinthians 15, if he didn't raise from the dead, right, because that is our hope, we are of all men most miserable. If Jesus is our hope, we need to be sure and confident in that. And that is the foundation for our actions and for our love. So just as a brief reminder for us tonight, I find three reflections for our hope. First of all, confidence in our salvation. Confidence in our salvation. We have this promise, right, in Romans 10:12, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this promise in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In this we have confidence, right? This is our hope. This is our expectation that Christ himself is our salvation. That confidence can drive us to love the world around us. We can also be confident in our supplier. And I love this, especially in the Christmas season, right? When we're thinking about finances pretty heavily, right? As we have friends and family to buy gifts for. This can be a troubling time for many families financially. As we think of bills to pay and everything. God is our supplier. And he meets every one of our needs. Matthew 6:26 says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And then Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We have the room to give, even if the finances are tight this month. We always have room to love because God will take care of each and every one of our needs. It doesn't matter how things are looking, good or bad. And I know we have a wide spectrum in this auditorium tonight where we have people who God has significantly blessed financially this year. And we have the total opposite end of the spectrum. Maybe you're not feeling that great blessing of God. And maybe times are a little tight. And maybe you couldn't buy all the gifts that you wanted to buy people this year. God says, love people anyway. Because the truth is, when we love others, it doesn't matter if God blesses us financially or not. God's going to take care of us. That's why in Matthew 6:33, just a few verses later, it says, right, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, talking about food and clothing and raiment, God's going to add all those things to your plate. He's going to take care of you. We ought to be the church that God has called us to be and love the world around us. And then the last thing we can be confident in our Savior. Hebrews 13:5, I think a dear verse for many of us. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God promises to be with us. And did you catch that? He kind of encourages us. It's about our mindset. If we're confident in the fact that he's with us, we won't be covetous. And I don't know about you. I can say this by way of testimony. It's the times when I'm most covetous and most wanting and desiring of what other people have that I'm less likely to give to those around me, that I'm less likely to show expressions of love. God says, if you'll just be content with me, you'll be known by love. If you'll be content with the Savior who died for you, living with you, then you'll be known by love because you won't let your covetous actions hold you back from loving those around you. So we can be confident, right, in our salvation. We can be confident in our supply. We can be confident in our Savior. And these are promises we have. This is the hope we can have. But what's the next step? Well, we'll see it in verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The next step to be known by love is to regularly listen to the gospel. And this seems kind of backwards, right? I think in this church, we've probably all heard the quote. I think I'm about to mess it up. Nobody deserves to hear the gospel twice when there are many people who haven't even heard it once. I probably got close. But the thought is there, right? I just want to say that that thought, according to the scripture, doesn't line up with the Bible. Romans 1:15 says this, "So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul just kind of makes a blanket statement. He says, I want to preach it to you that are in Rome. He says, I want to preach it to the church again. And I think this is so powerful is that we need to recognize we need the gospel. Even once we're saved, even once we put our faith in Christ, we need to regularly hear the gospel. Why? Because it reminds us of the ultimate sacrifice that Christ paid for us, right? The gospel is the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love the way that this author put it. The gospel is that I am so flawed that Jesus had to die for me, yet I am so loved and valued that Jesus was glad to die for me. There is power in the gospel, and that power drives us to love the world around us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, right? He proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Literally, it compels us. It drives us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. It's the love of Christ that compels us to love the world around us. I think we can see this true in the Christmas season. There are many people who we just love to buy gifts for, right? And it's just year-round. We might see a journal in a store or something that specifically kind of calls out to them. Like, oh, this person will love it. And we don't even have to think about it. We're buying gifts in March and of 2023 for the next year, right? That's kind of the same thought that we see from the love of Christ compelling us to love the world around us. When we hear the gospel and we consider and we reflect on the sacrifice that Christ made for us, right? That gruesome and gory and horrifying death on the cross. That reflection is going to then drive us to love the world around us. It's going to drive us to make a sacrifice for somebody we normally wouldn't sacrifice for. That is the power of the gospel. So let me ask you tonight, what drives you? What motivates you? Our love for others ought to flow out of our love for Christ that we glean and gain when we listen and hear the gospel, right? I love the passage that we read on Sunday from Pastor, where Jesus, man, this is so powerful, is called the captain of our salvation. And I don't think anybody in the entire world has ever set a better example of love than Jesus, right? Literally the ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice he gave of his own life while we were sinners. While we were against him, he said, I'm going to give my life for you. That love ought to drive us to love others. And when we let that love drive us, that's when we are known by love. I think it's common for Christians to say, right, the gospel changes lives. And right, it's catchy, it's a slogan, right? And it's true. The gospel absolutely changes lives. But do we believe it? And you might say, yeah. What do your actions say? When's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody because you truly believed that the gospel changes lives? When's the last time you went out of your way? Maybe it was awkward. Maybe it was uncomfortable. Maybe everybody else in that location could hear you talking to that person. But you did it because you knew that God died for them and that He had a plan for their life and that God could change their life. Our actions will prove what we believe, no matter what we say. So let the gospel drive you to love others. Every time you think, oh, I can't do that, that's not my strength, you know, I don't really talk to people, I just kind of hold back, think about the gospel. Picture Christ saying that. Oh, it's not really my thing to die for people. I'm glad He didn't. I'm glad God chose to die for me. I'm glad He purposed to humble Himself as a baby in a manger in a cold winter night so that I could have eternal life. I'm glad He did that. So who do you need to reach out to this Christmas? Which, by the way, is a very dark season for so many people. Who do you need to purpose in your heart to say, I'm going to show them the love of Christ this season? So we can think about our hope, we can listen to the gospel, but let's look at the last essential step to be known by love, and that's reflect on the spiritual fruit of others. We see this in verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Now, we actually don't know too much about who Epaphras is. He's only mentioned three times in the Bible, in the New Testament. We know he was a leader in the early church. We know he preached the gospel to them and led in the sense that teaching them doctrine and everything. We don't know if he was the pastor of this church or the bishop. We just know, based on Paul's description here, he was a servant. He was faithful. He was a minister to God. We actually see this at the end of the book where Paul says he was strong and he was fervent in his prayers. And I think we all have memories or even people that we look up to in this room who are godly Christians, who maybe go out of their way to serve and to lead in the church and things like that. Paul says that reflecting on those people, learning of those people, is a good way to be known by love. We can look at those around us and look for ways to improve in showing that we care for other people. The more we look, the more we'll see. Maybe it's in your Sunday school class, or maybe it's teaching the kids across the way or the teenagers, or maybe it's just watching some of the church workers greet people as they come in the lobby, and just watching how worth shows that they care. There are so many ways and opportunities in this very room that we can learn how to love people more and be known by love. You won't be able to do everything other people can do, but you can do what you can. I think about this spring where I had to get a blood test. And I don't know, needles in the Marquardt family do not bode well with us. And I'm sure so many in this room can relate. Of course, I never tell my nurse because that's such a weak sign to me. I'm like, no, I got to man up. I can make it. And man, this time I had to give a blood sample. I thought I was doing so well. I sat in my chair and she put the needle in and the blood started to come out. I'm like, man, I'm going strong. This is good. And then it hit me. My face turned so pale. I started just profusely sweating. That's probably too gross for y'all to hear. And the nurse was like, are you okay? I'm like, definitely not. And she like leaned my chair back and went from like pretty much straight up to that. I don't know if that helped at all. She was like, is there anything I can get you? I'm like, yeah, water would be great. So she got me this water and my blood's going. I'm sweating. I'm pale. Like my vision's a little dim. I'm like, I'm about to faint. And I'm trying to open this bottle. Like my hands are shaking. I'm trying to open it, and I just literally pour the whole bottle all over my shirt. I would be embarrassed, but I'm just glad I didn't faint. So I thought that was a win. But so needles, I can't do needles, right? That's not within my boundaries. Some people in this room, they could give their blood like multiple times a day if they could, right? Because that's just, they're strong in that sense. What is one person's strength might not be your strength, but what's one person's weakness could be your strength. And my thought is that as we learn from other people, let's just purpose to demonstrate love how we can. Maybe there's some ways that we need to go out of our comfort zone, right? Christ commands us in Matthew 28. This whole church needs to go out into the world and preach the gospel, okay? That's the responsibility of every Christian, whether you feel like it's your strength or not. But there are many ways that we can give and show our love without it being our strength. Maybe it's like writing a note for somebody. And you just really know how to leave a special note. Or maybe it's buying a coffee. Or maybe it's shooting them a text or giving them a call or giving them a quick word of encouragement. Whether they come to this church or not, people here in Fort Worth need to know the love of Christ. And the truth is, if we try to shift that onto somebody else saying, oh, somebody else is better at that, that person's not going to do it. That responsibility for us to love the world around us is on our shoulders. If we push that off to other people, not only do people not get loved, but Worth Baptist as a church will not be known by love, just like the church that we see here in the book of Colossians. So my challenge tonight is this, as we close, what are you known by? Are you known by love? Whether we like it or not, we control what we're known by. I could ask you this. Are you known by your passion for football? Are you known by your passion for soccer? I would imagine at your workplace, at your school, you're known by what you're passionate about. Because you talk about it, right? In those same places, are you known by love? And my question for Worth Baptist as a church is, are you known by love? Is Worth Baptist Church known by love in Fort Worth? What can you do this week, this Christian week, to positively impact your testimony for Christ, to love other people around you? I just think this is amazing. And we see this in verse 8. Who also declared unto us, and that's Epaphras. So Epaphras also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So great was the love of the saints in this church that even when the Apostle Paul and Timothy hadn't met them, they say, I know they love us. That's how great their testimony of love was. So my question to Worth Baptist, what are we known by? Do people feel welcome and even invited to come on this campus? And if everyone at Worth was as loving as you are now, how loving would this church be? If everyone at Worth was as loving as you are now, how loving would Worth Baptist Church be? I know for me, I need this message this Christmas. Because family's not perfect. Right? And especially this season, we see a lot of family. And I know many in this room have family that have hurt them, maybe financially, maybe in far more ways. And they need the love of Christ. And you need a purpose in your heart. I have an amazing example in this room of one of my role models who was financially hurt greatly by a family member. And he told me today, he said, I forgave him. I let that go. And to me, that's so powerful because family, right? The ones on this earth that should have our back, that should be for us, that should support us, they hurt us, but we're still commanded to love. And in this season, I know I needed this so much because no matter what people do to me, I decide what I'm known by. I decide what I do to other people. And I pray tonight that you'll recognize you decide what you're known by. That you'll recognize you determine your testimony, and if you're going to be known by love. The believers at the church of Colossae made that choice. They said, no matter what goes on around us, we're going to be known by love, and they acted accordingly. And I pray that that would be your purpose tonight. Let's take a second and close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your powerful truth and for the testimony at the church in Colossae. God, I thank you that we have a church in the Scripture that Worth Baptist can role can be a role model for Worth Baptist as we decide this December to be a church known by love. Lord, I pray that you would bring to mind people in specific circumstances where we can show our love this Christmas to family, to friends, and to those that we meet. And God, I pray that each of us would purpose to go out of our way to show the love of Christ this month and this year. God, I thank you again for the power of your word and the power that your gospel has to transform lives. Thank you for the transforming effect it's had on my life. It's in your holy son's name that we do pray. Amen.